Yo, I feel like I want Kawan to lock the door and shit. Yo, Juan, lock the door, Kawan? It's only a matter. Pardon us, Alice Coltrane, but we out here profiling. You lock that door.
Lock that door.
They start hearing the jazz. They think it's sweet up in here, and it is. It's B-Box Radio. That was Alice Coltrane featuring Pharoah Sanders. That's I'm gonna try to pronounce the joint. It's Journey in Sachinanda. Sachinanda. I don't think that I'm stupid. I'm gonna spell it. It's Sachidanand. I could spell, but how you have pronounced it? You know what I'm saying? Sachidananda.
Try.
Yo, just buy the record though. It's Alice Coltrane.
Shazam it.
Right. Shazam it. So this is telling me a story. This is Victorious De Costa, your host. And the other voice you had was the homie, Ness, aka Any Double Dollar Signed, Any aka double. The Dwayne Reed. You got it. You know, he got it. You need it. Aka Philadelphia Red, P Red. The nigga with the funny sneakers.
Yes, you remember that? Always.
The nigga with the funny ass Jordans.
The camouflage
AKA, I heard that Ness fill in the blank.
Oh man.
AKA, what's up with your homie Ness? AKA, what up with Ness? AKA, yo Ness, where's the other one? That'd be the name. Yo Ness, where the other man at? AKA, AKA Victorious, where's Ness?
Oh man.
AKA Luminescence Allah.
Peace.
AKA Nestle. AKA Nestle Quick Money.
Yes sir. That's a lot of AKAs, man.
I didn't tell none of the AKA Biz. I took that back. There may be an indictment on that. I'm not sure. That's AKA Business. Y'all get that. So all of those, tell me a story. No, I ain't saying Papa Chulo. I ain't saying Papa Chulo. Shit.
Okay. Yeah, you can't.
He has fangs.
As a man, you might feel weird saying Papa Chulo to another man. But yeah, I am.
Why would I feel weird, brother?
Pause.
2017.
Any Double Dollar Sign, AKA Pop Chulo. A story.
Tell me a story.
Yeah, man, I got a lot of different stories that I tell in the day to day, and I realize I always make a short story long. Most of my stories aren't PG-13, so
I'm
gonna keep it funky. I forget what year it was. A few years back, I had a case in another place that's not New York.
Got Norway, right?
This is not. This involves Norway, but
when you came back from Norway.
Yeah, so I had a case in another place that I was going through. My lawyer was working it, and
you shout your lawyer out.
I don't want to shout him out.
Okay,
we're not cool no more. But okay. Long story short, it wasn't that lawyer. It was another lawyer.
I know. Yeah, I know. So, it was a woman, right?
No, this is a guy. This is a guy.
Yeah, a lot of lawyers.
This is down south.
Okay. Oh, yeah, true that.
So I had this case. And it was, you know, some bullshit. You know what I mean? The system always trying to come down on us. And,
on
you know,
brother, right?
Yeah, basically, you know what it is.
Always got the foot on the brother's neck.
Foot on the brother's neck. The man doing what the man do. Had a case. Case was being worked. I was supposed to go to a court date on a specific date away from New York. And the court date was around the time of a show that me and my brother K A Black from Air Likes. We had a show
AKA
out.
Africa Black. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Agitator Black. We had a show out in Norway, in Oslo, and we got paid, you know, our half up front and all that. And the show was scheduled for the same time this court day was. Same time. So with the knowledge of these two things coinciding, I talked to my lawyer like, "Yo, lawyer, I got the situation. I got to go to work. I got to go overseas to rap for the people. And I've been already paid and I can't really move it." He goes, "Well, government name, you have to make it to this court date, right?" So I'm sitting there like, all right, I got to make it to this court date. But if I make it to the court date, I'm going to miss my show. So I was like, all right, I got a choice to make here.
You became a fugitive.
I told.
How much? What was that check? How much money was that? Right
there? It was a $3,000 thing. Maybe a little bit more. I forgot how much it was.
But it wasn't about the money, clearly.
It was definitely about the principle. One, two, the opportunity to go to, you know, overseas. Three, the fact that we got booked, and you know, you get booked and you don't show up for a show. That might work for Drake. That might work for Lauryn Hill. It don't work for A-Likes. You know what I mean? That's the type of thing where you're going to get blackballed in that scene, whatever. Like, don't book them. They're not going to show up. So, long story short, and once again, I do short story long, but this is my way of cutting myself short. I you know, pleaded with my lawyer, like, yo, is there any way you could go to court for me? Please, like, go to court and work it out so that I can go on the show. He was like, I cannot appear for you. You have to be here yourself. And I was like, all right, so what's going to happen if I don't show up? He's like, all right, well, if you don't show up, it's going to be a warrant out for your arrest. And I was like, okay. Like, how? Like, how is that going to happen? Like, the day of? Like, were they going to come get me? They was like, well.
Let me ask you a question. What answer would have been acceptable to you?
Knowing my hard-headed ass.
What would have been unacceptable and shit?
To be honest.
They're going to stick up my ass? Or nah, I'm out. Like, what?
Yo, bro, on some very real shit, I'm a stubborn dude, and if I got my head set on something, I'm just going to do it. So the only thing he could have said is, they're not going to let you out of the country with this case. And I was just like, he basically told me the situation. He was like, they're going to have a warrant out for your arrest. I was like, all right, can I make it out of the country? He goes, I mean, it sounds worse than what it is. He said, tell me a story. This is what came up in my head. So... He goes, yeah, you can make it out the country. You know what I mean? At customs or whatever, you're going to be good going out. But coming back in, you're probably going to get stopped. And I was like, damn, for real? You sure? He's like, well, I'm going to do what I can. Why you? So you?
$3,000 between the both of you.
Yeah.
So $1,500 minus the spent. Okay.
Yeah, plus, I mean, it might have been a little more.
Okay, we're going to add it up at the end.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, how was Norway? Was Norway good?
So anyway, we get on a plane. I don't tell my manager or my partner, which is the one thing that I felt kind of messed up about. I should have told him. I should have been like, yo, fella, yeah, you know, you know, because you're my brother. And these are my brothers too, but I'm just saying, like, I probably built with you more about all this stuff than anybody. But anyway, long story short.
Whoa, nigga. I had no knowledge, nor have I ever had any knowledge, nor will I have any knowledge of any.
This is a script.
Of these this is a fictitious, allegedly criminal.
No, man.
I find out when I get the call from the precinct. I did not know
this is fictitious.
That he was going to be doing this.
This is fictitious.
Brother, I was with the manager and the partner. We were very shocked and dismayed.
Oh, God.
Conspiracy is real.
I actually was thinking. I was like, "What kind of story? What PG-13 story do I got?"
So you got back from Norway.
So we get on the plane. Norway was dope.
How were the women in Norway?
The women in Norway were nice. It was a lot of European women. I saw a few African
that
women
was before you were okay.
And you know, it was cool. Right, the main thing with Norway that was dope or was kind of different. We had a show with Razel, the boy that you know. Yeah, he like beatbox. He was making beats with like this piece of equipment and then recording and rapping over. It was pretty dope. And I remember we was in Norway, it was kinda ill. They treat us like kings. We went everywhere. They were like break dancing while we were on stage. So we were on stage rapping, and instead of just being in the crowd getting hype, they like made a circle and started break dancing and all that. And it was a great experience. All
right. So then you get
to Norway,
JFK, Newark, where you go?
Do the show, and then we head back. And I remember on the plane, I had my little phone, and I was recording. I was like, I'm about to go do customs and see what's going on. I had all types of smiles and shit. Not like I thought it was funny, but just kind of felt like laugh to keep from being stressed out about it. We get to JFK, we get the customs, Preem goes through. K goes through, and then I come up to the customs dude. He goes, let me see your ID, your passport, whatever, whatever. I show him the thing. He just gives me one look over, looks down at the passport again, looks back up and says, wait right here. And I was like, all right, I know what's up. K and Preem was looking at me like, what?
What did you do?
What did you do? I'm like, psst. I'm giving them the shrug because I can't really explain.
Why you ain't try to run, though?
You ain't running from customs.
You ran from the fucking case? That's proverbial. Yeah, rationally, I want to know why didn't you run, though? I know what normal people ain't do. I figured you would have tried to run or try to, like, change your name on the passport or something.
Oh, man. Long story short, he comes back. He goes, come with me. And I end up going into a room that I ain't never seen before.
Shout out to Star Simulaz. So I was in that room too in London.
It was a sunken place. Yo, man, went to this back room. I'm thinking, like, you know, I got the gift of gab. You know, that's what I do for a living. I could talk my way out of this one. They were like, you know, you got a open thing down in
what up, Shabam?
And down somewhere. And I was like, yeah. What had happened was, and you know, I started with that, and I knew I was already in trouble when they were like, "Yeah, well, we're gonna keep it, you know, keep it straight like this." This county that you got a case in, they want us to hold you until they're ready to extradite you. So at that point, when I heard that word extradite, I said, "Okay, I'm not going home tonight." And
or maybe
right. Whatever the case is, like, I was like, so how does that work, like, when they do it? Because I haven't been in that type of—
Were they nice to you?
They were as cordial as, you know, dickhead people are. But you know,
these are felony charges. Yeah,
this is something we're not gonna get to specifics. Okay. It's out there. Okay. But the point is, at that point, they told me, they're like, we're gonna hold you, whatever. I was like, so what are y'all gonna do? You're gonna put me on a plane and cuffs?
I want everybody to know that he's a film producer. I didn't just, like, have, like, one of my goon friends come up here. You know what I'm saying? Just the goon for street cred. He
is my
an accomplished
life.
Producer and musician. We're getting there.
All right. So yeah, and
went to Queens after that, right?
After that, I went to whatever the Port Authority Customs hold you until they send you to the next thing, and then I got sent to the Bronx, and then—
How was the Bronx?
Yeah, it was on the barge.
The barge. Oh, you had, like, a week on the barge?
Yeah, it was actually a couple weeks.
In the barge, sure. Yeah. I'm not sure it was writing new and shit.
So long story short, the community at that point got involved as far as my comrades, my girl, my homies, Malcolm X grassroots movement, you know.
And
many great people, friends of mine that were lawyers, right. You know, and—
Shout out.
I took a little vacation for 2 weeks. Shout out.
I saw you, when I went to court, you was in Queens, though.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I think, yeah, we had to
free
go through
coke,
there.
By the way.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Free people too often. You think about the free—
Free everybody locked up, man. Except for, I guess, people always make exclusions for people that are, like, I don't
except
know.
For the pedophiles
and
the
rapists, right? Yeah. But, yeah, man. Abolish
is that
all
the story?
Prisons.
Is it the story?
I mean, it was some more to it, but I'm gonna just keep it at—
Yeah, that's a lot.
Kind of like the moral to the story is, don't play with the long arm of the law. Don't think you can, like, get around it. Don't think you can talk your way out of it, because they, you know, right now they got the drop on us. So, you know, that's what it is. Damn, I forgot we on the radio, man. Damn.
Yeah, all right. Radio, podcast, you know, all that good stuff. So
that was that was like some film research, by the way. That had something to do with the film.
I'm sure it did. So where are you from? You talked about this.
I am from North Philly. Okay.
Is that how they say it? North.
North with an F. You know what I mean? North.
You ain't been there in a long time, man.
Well, I threw the extra R in there just to try to be clear, but yeah, North Philly. Specifically, I was born in Logan, which is a section within Northern Philadelphia, 15th Street.
You know how I know you from Philly?
Huh?
There was a show. It's a show at Remote Lounge, maybe?
Oh, man.
I'm not going to say the whole thing.
Yeah, please.
But I think Evil D was DJing.
Oh, man.
And I think it was your group, A Likes.
Yes.
And and Deb Prez was performing. I think they were performing, right?
I don't remember. I think that might have been the Free Mumia show.
No, that would be horrible.
No, I don't think I said that during the Free Mumia show.
Do you know the story? You know what you said?
Yeah, basically, anytime I get to a certain point of pissed offness, it dawns on me that I'm from a very unforgiving place. Where people don't care as much as they do in other places, and they extra. So I always be like, Like, you'll hear it, you know, my big mama knows it, you know, police know it, people that get on my nerves to a certain point, it's like, what? I'm from North Philly. That whole thing.
I think some of us do that.
Yeah,
internally.
Yeah, Flatbush.
I know. Do I do that? I don't think I.
Flatbush will come out.
No, but do I do that? I say that. Like, I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, we grow, we mature, we travel the world, we become seasoned people.
I'm gonna turn the mics. I'm gonna set it up though. I think they were performing too late, or you know. One of the mics wasn't working.
The sound man was being a dickhead.
He
was purposely fucking up the sound because he ain't like what we were saying. We was mad aggressive. We was very air-likes as usual. Fuck the police. I think
fuck George Bush at that time.
Fuck George Bush. Okay. Very, you know, anti-establishment. We were young in the game. Had a lot of passion behind our.
And so what he says, I'm sorry, anti-establishment. Pardon me. I'm gonna be rude to the guest. He says, allegedly. I'm not sure if I was there.
Hold on.
Or not.
Is this on? Okay. Yo, live is on.
So.
I don't know, I'm turning this off.
So we used to do a lot. So those that, I met you in 05. Well, I met you first in when did Ski Free come out? 2000?
2000 flat.
So yeah. I met you in 2000. But we didn't really connect until 2005. Now, just remembering the other day, because I had did a, not a talent show, but I did like a showcase. And I had Supreme, I went to G-Night, I guess G-Night wasn't around, so I had Supreme get y'all. And I remember y'all came with LG. Bonsu actually was a judge, a guest judge. It wouldn't be Five Spot. Pyramid. It was in Pyramid.
Pyramid.
That's when I met you, 05. Why did I bring that up, actually? What are we talking about?
We're just chopping up.
Oh, yeah. So, 05. So, then I think the next year or during that year, I started helping out with A-Likes.
Yes.
And I became a DJ for A-Likes.
Yes.
Because there was...
we needed a DJ. A good DJ. Yeah.
Well, no. The DJ you had was good. He was a good cutter and scratcher.
Okay.
Isn't he? Why is cutter and scratcher?
Wise was a DJ. Yeah, but
there was a situation, you know, with no. Yo, Shorty's still.
Yo, we not building things. Like that. We not building.
No. I didn't, bro. You just made that shit totally. I didn't say nothing. But there was issue, right?
Oh man.
There's issue, and so I came aboard. I went on tour a little bit with y'all.
Yes.
I got fired.
You did?
Yeah, I got fired.
Who fired you?
K fired me.
Oh, cause yeah, you was sleeping was in the shining. Studio.
Oh no, that was no. This was I'm a tall one.
While we were recording, right?
No, that's not why I got fired.
What?
Well, you know, I didn't get fired, but it was like that one time we was in maybe Kentucky, and the discussion was like me getting money, and it was decided that travel was my, you know, my payment. I get to travel for free, and you know, he said I pushed the buttons myself.
Whoa!
And I wasn't, y'all should know, and yo, I was not pushing buttons. I was DJing. I had my little, which was deemed like distracting, and I was doing, you know, stuff, and it was like, yo, tell him not to be doing all that. And I had a chain. Remember my chain? Chain.
Oh, all right.
So it's like my chain was seen as being, I guess, not the image of the group.
Son, yo,
I was coming because they had all the fatigues, all that shit. I had that too, but I came through. I had a little money. I had my little thing.
Yeah,
and
had
this
Flatbush swag on.
But
I'll say this.
No, that was the Clinton Hill swag at that point.
Yeah, that's
Vanderbilt swag.
I'll tell you this, man. Having friends that don't smoke is invaluable for like people that smoke. Bro, I forgot all about Kentucky. I forgot all about that episode. Now I remember clearly.
Yeah, what we doing in Kentucky? We did the ACLU.
That's
part of my bio.
Yeah.
You know, with King Downing. Shout out to King Downing. And
what was his name? Oh, man.
Yeah, right, Sister Africa is out there. Yes, Father Jai was out there. You know, the big and the other sis from RBS.
Yes.
Revolutionary Blood Section.
Yes,
Naima.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sisters were awesome.
And that's how we met Imani Bey, the right. Bungie Carter Foundation out there in LA.
Correct.
I saw this now in Hollywood. Yeah, we just doing memory lane.
Copy.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's good, good. Always have friends that don't smoke.
I started smoking again that year, actually. Yeah. I needed to. Yeah. It's peer pressure.
Yeah, well, around us at the time, we was Redman and Method Man at the time. Me and Kay was.
We had some good times,
Cheech
man.
And Chong. Yeah,
we had Vermont. It was a good time.
Vermont was awesome.
Was on tour with the legendary Sean P.
P. Rest in peace.
Ghostface. It was the Ghostface tour.
Yes,
right?
The Ghost. Remember Sean Price got tight at. Do you remember this?
I remember it. No,
Sean Price got Sean P. tight. Yo, he got tight. All right, so we were signed to Nervous Records. Same Nervous Records.
Group slash signed to Nervous Records.
Yeah, we were signed to Nervous Records, which is the same label that Smith & Wesson and Buckshot and Black Moon was signed to. And they had kind of like some, they had, you know, how industry people do the industry shit. They had beef with them. They was like, Barry Weiss and
Otherwise.
And the other Nervous, boys, mm-hmm. whatever. And I think Wise, no disrespect to Wise, the salute to the God, peace God.
Changed his name, though.
He was shouting out during our opening set, like, he was like, just sign the Nervous Records, the same record label that released the legendary groups, Smith & Wesson.
And someone got pulled to Black. The side about
Yo,
that.
Yo, Sean P. Sean P. came up, like, on the side, like I think afterwards, and came to...
Sean P. was on Priority anyway.
Yeah, but at the time, he was just saying, don't be connecting us up to Nervous. They owe us money type shit. But he came to Wise and said it first. He was, very respectful to us, but he was just like, yo, we don't fuck with them. And I was like, we don't fuck with them. But they right now, throwing some bread towards this album. So it's whatever. But yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Sean P. was awesome. Ghostface was awesome.
Shout out to M, because I think M1 had to leave the thing and brought us on there, right?
Yeah, but M1 was on the, M1 was doing a solo... His solo record, right. And he had his he was on the tour. No, he was there. He was there for a portion of it.
And we got there because someone dropped out. Oh no,
Sean Price, I think, had to drop out.
And Ghostface came on.
No, Ghostface and M was they went through the whole way.
So
there was some shows that we did without M that he couldn't
I'm
do.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm talking about. Then
that was towards the end.
So when I came on, it was towards the end. We had a good time in Vermont.
Vermont was awesome.
But we
shout out to Vermont.
It was shout out to Burlington, Vermont. There was you want to talk about Ghostface? He had a robe and he had ladies on the stage. I remember like being in the hotel and it's like, what up? We was on stage with you.
Yup.
It was like, nah, homie. Who y'all? Nah, homie. Sorry.
Yo.
Boom.
Let me tell you something, man. Anybody who is a fan of Wu-Tang, y'all already know. But Ghostface, I've done shows with a lot of amazing live performers. But Ghostface... Yo, the homie is larger than life, like mm-hmm. for real. Like I do my thing on stage. Like I go in, I connect.
You're pretty
good. My brothers, thank you very much.
You're like top 20.
Yo, Kawan said that the other day. I felt flattered and honored. Respect, thank you. Real, recognized, real. Sticking M1. M1 is probably one of the best performers on the planet.
I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna not what's the word veto. I'm gonna one up you.
Okay.
I seen Prince.
Oh, what?
I seen
where?
I took Courtney to see Prince.
Oh, you went to what? Madison Square Garden to that show?
Yeah.
That's yo.
Floor seats. You know how I do.
Yo, God.
I seen Michael Jackson.
I didn't see Michael.
I seen Michael.
Yo, bro. All right, my fault.
I've seen Seinfeld. I seen them all. We're talking about hip hop.
Okay.
Still for Smith & Wesson.
Still's a nasty
still,
killer.
Still never lost.
High energy, real.
Then M though, but then M. But yo, still is like the most amazing hip hop performer ever. M will probably tell you that.
I'll tell you like this. The thing with M that I learned by performing, because you understand, we came up, we was always young boys coming up. So I learned a lot of what the stage was about through M and Stick. Mm-hmm. Stick got like this ill mystique. You know what I mean? Stick probably was my favorite MC for a long time type shit. Like, so Stick got his swag on stage and he's awesome himself, you know what I mean? M is like this glue and mm-hmm. it's like a mix of like Fred Hampton and like, I don't know what rapper, cause
like- Still, Smith & Wesson.
Probably, but I'm just saying, the way we looked at rappers coming up in RBG, People Army, mm-hmm. like, we ain't really was like intimidated or in awe of nobody. We was always like, yeah, y'all cool, but y'all just rapping. You know what I mean? Y'all not really teaching nothing, y'all not building, y'all not connecting, y'all not, it was none of that, at least for me, that's personally how I felt. So what M was like a combination of like I said, like a Fred Hampton, but also an ill MC, high energy, all over the crowd, got swag, got good energy, always wearing some dope shit, whatever, right?
Yeah, now M, yeah.
So
rock his threads now.
But that's a preface, yeah. Right? Yeah, so you got M, right? Ghostface is like, being on tour with that dude was like, he was just like a cartoon character, but not like I'm knocking him. Like, he was just larger than life.
Hold on, yo, Pete. I want, because some of y'all new to the show, you may not know who's speaking.
This is Ness.
Because shout out to, I can't even say the other Wu-Tang brother's name, but I do not want the tape recorder to slap. That was received in the store's offices. So Ghostface is not like a cartoon, brother. Do you want to?
Right, I keep it real. I say what I meant, but what I mean is like, it don't seem like real person.
How do you clean it up? I keep it real. I say what I meant. How do you keep that?
Because I'm not coming from a place of malice. I'm not trying to knock him.
No, I got your back.
Okay. Either way,
it's old guy,
he's larger
back
than life.
Shout out to Mike.
And I want
to
say animated, not like in how Jay said about like Busta Rhymes, animated.
We tried to stop that album from coming out.
Which one?
What was the album that had A La Real on that shit?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because A La Real was on the joint. I had a letter I wrote to Def Jam. I thought I was writing a letter. You know, I have a letter and shit. To Tara, somebody from Def Jam. And I was like, my artist, blah, 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 blah. But we folded.
But just to wrap this thing up, the Ghost Race
thing. Cartoon, yes.
Forget the cartoon aspect. Yo, he got mad layers on. Mad layers. Like the most layers that you could have on stage. Mm-hmm. You might have a robe.
Bathrobe.
With like a rugby shirt. Then he got like big ostentatious jewelry that's hanging off your joint. Big word, right?
Yeah,
that's
a good one. Yeah,
that's what it is. That's what it is. It'd be like
an
eagle hanging off, mad chains, got his hat cocked to the side. And when Ghost and comes on, yo, it's like, yo, what's up? It's the one, nah, nah, nah. And then
that's
boom.
The voice.
It's like, yo, it's like when he stomped, like the whole thing move. He don't jump around frantically.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He don't got the energy like that. But he ain't still. The whole time he halfway falling off the stage, but holding on to the stage. And he's in full control, spitting all his rhymes. His, you know, his little man's like, you know, the hype man, the people around, they killing it. Like, I just say all this to say, like, y'all gotta catch Ghostface. Probably even now he's killing it. Back then, every time, like, I don't always watch people's show, but I would come out and like watch the show like a little kid.
Catch Weekend Money, Smith & Wesson, Ghostface, and Dead Prez, DP,
DMX too. Probably I seen him. DMX crazy.
All right, well, he is crazy in a good way. All right, so you mentioned DPs and being amongst. Where did you meet? Don't put no camera on me, bro. Where did you meet?
That's my voice.
DPs, because you know you had the. I'm distracted. Sorry, y'all.
Okay.
So where you meet DPs?
I met Stig and M during a. We met a couple times that I didn't really know who they were, but when we met, that we actually knew who they was. It was during a Florida A&M homecoming.
What year was that?
97, maybe.
But they weren't out then, right?
Nah, but they had got the deal, or they were about to get a deal or something. And we had met like real quick. I remember me and Kay had linked up. And like I knew of the homies, and we probably was in the same circles building, but it wasn't really like we knew each other. And then we met, and it was like, oh, this is my boy Ness, the kid from Philly that everybody was talking about, that was, you know, dope rapper, blah blah. And it was like, I remember I was wearing like a cowboy hat, I had orange Timbs on, and like an orange John Elway jersey, swagged out, real Philly, 90s, whatever.
So your testimony is that people was wearing cowboy hats in Philly in the 90s?
In Philly, in like the mid to late 90s, we had like...
Okay, I would be shook. Philly
cats would be like, yo, yeah, like a cowboy hat and like Durangos. It was a weird time, man.
I would be shook. I seen cowboy hat.
And Tim's.
Durangos.
And dude wearing Tim's.
The trench coat.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Niggas is wearing the future hat now, so yeah, anything goes.
You said N words too.
Was I saying the N word there, or do I still say the N word? Yeah, I do say the N word. I try to refrain from it, but I try to refrain from other things. Nah, not really, but okay. Around you, I do, because you're my brother.
Me? Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Cool. Dope. Thank you, my brother.
I'm gonna curtail it around you, brother.
When did People's Army start?
People's Army. Exact years I don't remember, but I know when we came up, when me and Kay came up to New York. So me and Kay, A Black, my partner A Likes, we were down in Florida. Kay, A Black, had came up with Stick M, Tahir, Abu, a few other brothers up to New York. And then after a little, like, couple months, Kay was like, I'm not sure if I'm feeling this. And then he came back down. And that's when me and him linked up. And then through our connection, that's how me, Stick, Tahir, and One all got really connected. And I just remember, like, at the time the internet wasn't popping like that, cell phones weren't popping like that. Talking about it now sound like, you know, talking about ancient times or whatever, but the way we communicated, once Kay was like, yo, I'm working on a group thing, like a group project with this kid, Abu and Ta were sending beats down in the mail, like cassettes.
Actual mail, yeah.
Actual mail, physical cassettes in the physical mail, sending to us. We would get it, we would hear it, we would record it on our little, like, makeshift recording setup. And whatever. So we was doing this for like maybe half a year. And then after that, what we ended up doing was saying, look, I'm done with this Florida thing. You know, Florida A&M has been an amazing experience where I was going.
Did 1 year of school?
Yeah, I did 1.5 years.
Oh, okay, high school diploma crew, you know what I'm saying?
Jesus.
High school diploma. High school diploma, bro. Some college.
College dropouts.
That's that third box right there, some college.
I mean, it was an amazing experience.
If not for that box, though, you had graduate, high school diploma. Before that box came out, you felt low.
Yeah, you felt like, yeah.
Oh, some college group. That's me.
And we know, went to black college.
Juan got
You got a whole degree?
He got a degree from a white college, though. So it's kind of, it evens out, I think.
Yeah, every year of a black college is a whole degree.
Right.
Of a white college for a black man.
Yeah, true indeed, brother.
But
got that white knowledge. Shout out to Kwan.
Once again.
Stolen from the Temple of Alexandria.
Oh, man.
You know, and Luxor and all that.
Where'd you go? Oh, man, that's a real college.
Yeah, no, it's real.
First of all of New York is black. Anyway, like, all of
not
it is
Brooklyn
connected.
College.
It's connected.
Yeah, you had a lot of Jewish women out there?
Nah, Brooklyn College is very diverse.
You about to say, did we all say
Bruh, you know them colleges like in Ohio and Pennsylvania that you're the only black dude there.
So,
anyway, so yeah.
So what is, not who, but you can say names you want to, but what is or was People Army? Tell me about the I Chain.
All right, well, just the... When me and Kay decided to come up, I already saw people here that we were all like talking about People Army. You had Homie Didon, Nim, Lord Jamar, you know, Em and Stig, Abu and Ty. It was like formulating in that sense. And then, you know, we just joined the revolution.
Well,
if
what
you
is
will.
People Army? Though? Is
it a rap group? It was a loose collective of people, of you know, brothers and sisters that understood an idea that we wanted self-determination. But stylistically, we were doing it in a way that worked for us, you know what I mean? We had a certain swag, certain energy, a certain culture, how we wanted to do it. We were reading the Red Book at the time, Mao Zedong's Red Book.
Name some of the sisters, though. You said brothers and sisters.
I can't remember.
Oh,
I can't remember now.
It's Hakima.
Oh, Hakima, yeah, definitely Afia. And, you know, you had Omi, you had Indo. Okay. You know, few people, but I don't.
Because Hakima, who designed the infamous red, black, and green bandana, the Paisley joint, the RBG bandana.
Yo, shout out to Harriet's alter ego.
Right.
A lot of the swag.
She blew up first.
Yo, a lot of the swag that I see nowadays, started back then. You know what I mean? Hakima, just taking vintage clothes and chopping it and mm-hmm. turning it into something, you know, even more brand new, but still being something that's good for the earth, and also, like, you're not paying all this money for Gucci and Louis Vuitton and all that.
So,
but
when did you first hear RBG's or Revolutionary Book Gangster?
I'm trying to think. As far as the colors, we know the colors from Garvey,
yeah, but
throughout. But I just remember thinking, like,
the collective, though.
I remember building with the homies about, you know, how Bloods got the Bread Rag, and, you know, Crips have the Blue Flag. Mm-hmm. And just colors were always important to me personally as like an artist, a visual person. I went to school for graphic design. I was always drawing stuff. And I remember talking, I think the stick specifically is about how colors are important. And A-likes, for instance, our colors was navy and gold, just because that was a color scheme that I liked. And I remember thinking like somewhere between, I think it was during Let's Get Free or right after Let's Get Free came out, we were just talking about colors. And, you know, it just popped up one day. Somebody said, you know, RBGs type thing. And it was more about the G's part than about the colors.
What was RBGs?
Revolutionary but Gangster, which was like, you know, at the time, like, you look at right now, like, you got all these different swags where people have, like, nerd swag and, you know, you got hipster swag and whatever. For the most part, back in, like, the early 2000s or before, like, you had to have some kind of G shit to your shit to even be considered relevant. And not like we were doing it to be relevant, but just the streets was just harder, like, you know, whatever. So people would look at revolutionary things or conscious things or things in that realm and kind of try to dismiss it like, oh, yeah, y'all eating granola and y'all about health or whatever. That ain't gangster. And it's like, nah, we revolutionary but gangster, like, for real. Like, it could go down, you know what I mean? We not out here hugging trees only. Actually, we're not hugging no trees. We out here doing some real shit for the people. So in the same spirit of like the Black Panther Party, you know what I mean? Back then they had the leather jackets, which was cool for that time, and a certain stance that was like, you know, powerful, but they were still about the people, which is like, well, the balance.
I remember building with Stick. When did I Need a Resolution come out? And the Leah and the Juicy and the Cop Shop. What was that? 2000?
I love that joint, man. 2000? Whenever, I mean, it was right after that song came out.
So,
like, it was obvious.
Probably 2000, 2001.
It was right around that time.
Yeah,
like,
I talked to Stick and he was like, he played it for me. It's Dean Street, if I'm not mistaken, Dean Street. And I remember going to Stick crib and he had the library, you know, his bookshelf. It was the first person I saw a bookshelf was all like labeled like a library and shit. So it's kind of ill. But, He was explaining that
mad drawings on the wall.
I remember the bookshelf.
Mad drawings on the wall. Mad diagrams of like martial art holds and shit.
So he was like, we're doing this. We call it the RBG tactic. And I was like, what's that? He's, you know, revolutionary but gangster. And he said, because we do the same message on the Biggie or the on the Leah. And he said, you can't hate on the music. He says Timberland. I remember he says Aaliyah, nigga. It's Timberland, nigga. Like, you can't hate on the music. And that was my first intro to the term, you know, in the sense that we use it. But then,
as far as taking,
I remember when the album came out, the RBG album came out, and y'all was like in the back cover, inside cover, everybody khakied out, a few different kinds of weird signs. I think the rags just came out, Chucks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these motherfuckers lost their mind and shit. And I remember talking to this woman I was with, shout out to Karis. And I was like, she was like, what's up with your boys type of thing? Word. And I was like, I felt my way. Because it's like, yo, I don't know what's going on. Like, why are they doing this? What is these bandanas? But then I think the release party I built with OG, God damn it, was it Bobby Valentine? Gotti Valentine?
Wow.
Rest in peace to him.
Mr. Sunshine?
No, not Mr. Sunshine.
Okay.
You mean, I don't know if you even know him.
I know you're talking about.
But OG Gotti Valentine, you know, and about. He was like, he said to him, I'm like, how are you, RBG? He's like, to him, RBG, he said, as long as you go into the principles, you're RBG, the RBG code, which is based upon the Thug Life code, right? And he's like, if you are blood, then RBG stand for Revolutionary Blood Gang. He said, if you crit, it'd be Revolutionary Blue Gang.
Right.
Because, you know, remember, you know, at that point, RBG wasn't, red, black, and green was like on the bottom of the totem pole, or pardon the phrase, you know, on the bottom of the list of all the things. Dudes ready to bust gas, real black girls, whatever.
Reading about Garvey.
Right. And then we went to Oakland. I remember we found out, we met the homies who started it out there in like 91. In Oakland, you know, and how, I guess M was out there with the Yahoo movement, mm-hmm. and Fred Hampton was out there too. I didn't know at the same time.
Fred Hampton Jr.
Junior, you know, was out there at the same time, and you know, it all merged, and it's like, kind of like it didn't just come from you know, even if it was in the zeitgeist and it come from anywhere. So what do you think about now? Like now you have, it's just like, well, I know Marcus Garvey, so I'm RBG too. Like, what do you think about the explosion?
Well, the, like just even listening to us building about it, the whole idea is come to the people as the people. You know what I mean? And a lot of times when you know, people come to build or come to like, do community work, oftentimes, you know, you come from a space of like, sometimes people feel like you're condescending because you're coming from like, oh, I'm here to save you from your ignorant abyss type shit. So I guess the uniting with the whole colors and the bandanas and all that, I remember me and Kay really pushed like seeing our brothers, you know, blood brothers, Crip brothers, because we was out in the street, you know, a little bit more in the sense that we weren't as many industry functions and stuff.
Yeah, we heard the story at the beginning, Norway. We know how you okay. get down.
No, but I'm just putting it in context like, I united with certain folk that weren't politicized. You know what I mean? I united with certain folk here.
Folk as in GDs or?
Pardon me. I united with certain brothers and, you know, brothers out here in the street that weren't necessarily reading about, you know, Marcus Garvey or Mao Zedong or dialectical materialism or any of that. And just common sense wise, before even knowing the history of the Bloods and the Crips and how it's connected to a revolutionary arm, the fact that it's kind of like, these are the people out here that you know, we need this out here. You know what I mean? This is our warrior class, if you will. Brothers is out here ready to bang for a principle, ready to do something for a principle. So when, just even hearing your story about how, you know, your sister came to you like, yo, what's up with the homies? Like, what are they doing? It's always interesting to me that people take that stance when it's like all our people are our people. And when I see now in 2017, a lot of the younger generation or whatever, discovering the movement, discovering the struggle, discovering anti-establishment, just energy, or how everybody say, oh, stay woke or being woke or whatever, that, you know, that whole term. It's interesting to me because I see older brothers, you know, some brothers that I came up with, you know, contemporaries of mine and older than me, kind of coming and looking at them young boys like, what they know about, you know, this revolutionary stuff, talking about stay woke, man. We've been doing this and whatever. And it's kind of like, I get it, you know what I mean? Because if you've been in the struggle and you've been doing this and you've been getting looked at sideways from your parents and your friends and different people for being a revolutionary culture pusher, you know what I mean, or a revolutionary period, you look at these young kids coming up like, what y'all really know about that? You know what I mean? But I take a word from, you know, that you always say, you know, it's a teachable moment, if you will, where if y'all ears are open, if your eyes are open, because you're seeing police, you know, killing our people on Facebook now, and you're seeing all this footage and all that, then get in however you fit in. You might,
and use, you don't mind using the name, because RBG was a collective or is a collective, right? For example, right, someone in Texas said, and he considered himself RBG, right? You know,
right.
And you know, through the Garvey connection, right?
Right.
So he says, it's like a post, how you RBG and you fuck with Latinas?
Wow, like that?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, and I told the Divine about that. It's kind of like,
bro, that don't even make sense.
With, to them,
I hear
to them, it's like, well, they not with us. They don't know our struggle with the dub, but they RBG.
Well, first and foremost, let's paraphrase the intro to Let's Get Free. White supremacy is the enemy. Was the enemy since we was brought over here, right? So, as far as that, when like if a brother says some stuff about Latinos not being RBG. First of all, I got like a personal vested interest. My mom's Dominican, right? We black, you know what I mean? Yeah, we got European blood in us through the slave master. We also got, you know, indigenous blood from here, and we got African slave blood in our running through our body. So I say this to say, the division for me personally, like if we spoke as a collective, let's say me, Stick, M, K, everybody was here, we talked about what RBG was. And what, you know, what is it moving forward? We might have same answers or slightly different answers. If Tahir was here, he might say something different. What I'm saying, you know, as a grown ass man, understanding the principles and living this basically my whole adult life is like Nessa ain't about division. You know what I mean? My whole thing is being a bridge and connecting people of all walks of life. You know what I mean? 5% teaches us that, you know what I mean? To you know, find friends in all walks of life, no matter where you come from. If you deal with a principle that we share, you know, common principles, then let's move together. So as far as RBG, it wasn't a rap group. You know what I mean? You could call it a tribe, you know, a loose tribe, a collection of people that understood the idea that self-determination is our goal, because we need, you know, we need that to get to where we need, where the world needs to go. You know what I mean? Our people need self-determination. We need to have our own. We need to be able to speak for ourselves, you know, feed ourselves, have our own, so that we could be on the same equal footing. So I say that to say, RBG wasn't a clique like that. A lot of people associated People Army and RBGs to Dead Prez, A-Likes, you know, Ty Here, Stick M, you know, Divine, Nimrod, D-Don, all that, and people that we were cool with. But it's way bigger than that. And especially nowadays where you see it's expanded. And anybody that's fighting over that name.
RBG handshake. I mean,
yeah, we had an RBG handshake.
You're not going to revise history saying it wasn't the clique. Like, it was most definitely.
But it could be sets.
Oh, God, I don't want to go there. Let's
okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, tribes. Like, we had tribes.
Yeah, but it was actual, like, the I Ching, right?
Okay, it's a nation. Let's say it's a nation.
Well, let's not say that.
That's a nation. Like, in a grand scheme of things, you got a nation, and within nations, you have tribes, like indigenous, like, you mm-hmm. know, what they call Indians or whatever. They have, like, the nation, and then within that, you have smaller sets of people that just are connected through geography, through maybe age. You know what I mean? There's some younger cats that might be calling themselves RBG now that we might not even have the same, you know, we might not speak the same principles, language. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even principles might be slightly off. At the end of the day, though, without us working together, we're at a loss because they working together. The enemy's working together very well.
But see, the thing is that some people won't work with, I'm just going to say, the young elders within the movement because, you know, they have such a hard line politic.
Oh, and some people find power in it.
Yeah. So what do you do? Because, I mean, you still rep it. You still have it around your head right now. So how do you feel unpolitically, right? Non-politically? Like, you have, like, a bozo on YouTube. You know, you can pick one.
Right.
Talking some crazy shit, whatever. Has that thing on, you know? And then you meet somebody. Because you name your group, one of your groups, like RBG, and, you know. Right. And then it represents you.
Well, Aikido, man. That's what I think of. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not Wing Chun-ing this joint. Like, I'm not coming head to head. Like, yeah, brother, you saying the wrong thing. You ain't repping us right.
No, it don't gotta be that. But how do you feel?
I feel
because all of it spawned. I mean, you know what we did in the city. You know, so right. All of it spawned from a place, and people. See, it's like this, right? Say like 5%, right?
Right.
Some people could say there are 5 centers out there that make everybody look fucking bad.
Right.
I mean, maybe you don't care. I care about that because if someone meets me, they be like, oh,
you don't want to be mixed up.
I met the bozo over there, or I met the whatever. You know what I mean? Are you one of those? Or I'm not even going to ask if you're one of those. I see the name you got. You're one of those. So, I mean, when does it become, like you say, Spirit of the Panthers? We don't want to go OD, you know, late 70s Huey on it. But where does it have a organization or even a civilization to it where it's not just, well, if you heard about Garvey, then go ahead and run with it. Because it's a real thing, because end of the day, these people are teaching children, true, right? They're making ways in the community.
So what's our responsibility, basically?
Yeah, what's the responsibility?
Well, to each his own. You know, you got to decide for yourself. For me, you know, my path is, like I said, to connect. And I don't find my ego doesn't connect with with defending what other people think about what this organization or group of people, or the perceived organization or group of people, is, if you will. So I say that to say, let me say something that the our brother Yassine Bey said, and he said this.
Yassine Bey.
He says something that just resonated with me recently. He said, "What people think about me is not my business." So There's, I mean, as a 5 percenter, there's a bunch of, throughout the years, you know, sisters and a lot of sisters, but brothers that come up to me like, yeah, I know the 5%. Yeah, you know, y'all about this, y'all about that. And I'll be like, whoa, nah, you ran into somebody that was there with
right.
it. And it's kind of like.
And what, same. So that's not really ego, though. That, because when your organization has a particular place in the community, you know, and your organization, which not like many organizations, demands personal responsibility
right.
for each person, and not just like, you know, some people are marginal members of everything. Like, you know, right. if I meet someone, it's a fringe member of, let's say, Phi Beta Sigma, it's like, okay. But let's say with the guys at the 5% or with so-called RBGs, like there is, it's not a personal ego.
Right.
It's like we got moving to do. So if I say, okay, well, yeah, boom, RBG, you know, we doing this whatever drive.
We need people
I ain't going to those YouTube ass niggas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it kind of,
right.
you know.
Right. Well, I'll say this.
You have a tattoo, right? What's
I Ching.
I Ching.
I Ching means.
Yeah, I got tatted for that shit.
Everything changes. Everything
that,
changes.
Is that what that is?
Well, the book of I Ching is where this symbol comes from. It's there's 64 symbols. This is the seventh. Earth over water. It's, you know, hexagrams that are stacked on top of each other.
I don't know that word. So I want to. This is. I will say that the person that, because we almost out of here, the person that we seeing later on tonight, I won't say his name.
Uh-huh.
He asked. He came to us through Gangsta Disciple.
Right.
And maybe like 6 years ago, he said, "Yo, Vic, I want to go to Harlem. I just want to knock all them dudes out." And I'm like, "Nah." That's what you talking about?
Right.
Oh no, brother. Because as long as they, you know, it's about Garvey and, you know, so it's growth and development and all that. But then it should exploded and it took the place of the real, so now you have the Hotep shit, because people, you know, and I say Hotep shit, I mean like the whole idea of what they call a Hotep, which okay. is like the totally disrespectful in right. so many different ways, but because people were left unchecked,
right?
You know, so now you have anything that looked like something, like you may have beat on or fatigued on or whatever, or say a certain thing, or that's that Hotep shit.
Right. I say this, man, just to be humble to even
why
this situation.
Humble?
No, be humble to like brothers that are day in, day out. This is their platform and this is what they run on. This is the center point of their identity. They, you know, they out, you know, online, you know, debating and doing all that. Right. I've just in the last couple of years gotten privy to what's going on online. Like I jump on online, post a couple things, say a couple positive affirmations, keep it moving. But, you know, a few of my friends that I know be on there debating heavy and deep. And there's like people got they, you know, they entrenched in like, you know, battle lines, basically fighting for them. I guess the some of it I don't understand.
Fighting
some of it.
Minds, so,
yeah, I guess fighting for the minds or fighting for the influence.
They be feds, too.
Yeah, I mean, then you got that aspect of it. So I just say this, man, if you got seeds, teach your seeds. If you got, you know, youth around you, teach your youth. As far as RBG, you know what I mean?
The dude said he's the king of RBG. You seen that shit?
I mean, I don't even know what that means.
Dude said it was a whole big thing. I'm the king of, what was the dude's name?
I don't even know what that means.
This is what I'm saying. So, I guess we think about it differently because it's
what
like, dudes on YouTube, and they
king
had a fight between the king of
RBG.
This is what I'm saying. So if someone come to my house like, damn, baby, ain't that what you got? Like it's a thing. Like it either you have to say, you know what, I'm done with that. No, that's not
kinda,
me no more.
I mean, not to that extent, but definitely like I don't got time for the bickering. One,
right. Yeah, definitely.
That's
not
one. Two, there's real work to be done. Mm-hmm. Unity is gonna outlast all this. Like we don't get unity, we could talk till we dead. You know what I mean? Now there can be a vanguard, a small group of people that make this thing happen, but across the board, we need a lot more unity to go from where we at, which is right now, the system with their foot on our neck, to freedom. You know what I mean? And for that, you know, we got to let some of that bullshit aside. Like, all that back and forth talking about shit and, you know what I mean? You start getting into, like, things that ain't even science. It's like pseudoscience and mm-hmm. and just a bunch of ego. Like, King of RBG sounds crazy to me. I would like
it
to see that
crazy.
Just to see it. You know what I mean?
I
and it's cool
you.
To feel royal and all that because we
all kings.
I shed
like a fake tear. I said like a fake get out tear.
Yeah, bro.
Because it was like, what?
Are we in a sunken place? Like it's collectively
it's real sunken.
We just sunken.
You want to talk about? Cause we almost out of here. All
right, what time is it?
It's almost a wrap. We in part two.
All right.
I think that we made a mistake by saying fuck George Bush. I think it should have been like fuck.
What the new
all this shit. Like back in, you know, because remember we said fuck George Bush, yeah. And then 08 came, and then the first show they tried to say fuck Obama. And it was like, what?
Yo, let me tell you, when Obama, and this is a good segue, when Obama came into the presidency, I seen so many fans and people that were in support of what we as ALikes, as RBG, as Dead Press, what we have been saying all throughout Bush's presidency, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Obama comes into office. And I remember this one sister. I'm not even going to name her name because I remember her, whatever. I was doing my usual aggressive shit. And when I first jumped on Facebook, mm-hmm. I was going in because I didn't really recognize how wide open it was.
Right.
I said, I'm like, little fuck the system shit, whatever. And sister said, brother, I think it's over for that. We have a black president in
for
office.
Real? She was serious?
Straight up. She was like, I don't see why y'all go so hard. Like, we did it. We did it. We've achieved what we've been trying to achieve. We have a black president. And at the time, I was like,
did we achieve?
Bruh, I mean.
I'm saying maybe I thought about it wrong. Like, did we put a black president in office? Did we do that? Was that?
Yo, bruh.
Wait, hold on quick. Pause.